Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 147. Hey,
we're getting close to the 150, aren't we?
We are, yeah. We're going to have to do something special. Because you were saying in 2 weeks' time it's your birthday.
It is.
Potentially on podcast day, although probably the day after, which will be hilariously good fun, given the state that you're going to end up in.
Yeah, I think doing a podcast on my actual birthday in the pub could end up getting a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, but at the same time...
But it'll be the week, that'll be 149, won't it? So that'll be...
So we'll have to think something special to do for 150.
Pretty sure we said that about show 100.
And then all we did was, talk about the fact of show 100. I think, do we have a party pop or something?
I think we might have had
no expenses spared here.
I'll tell you what, give us some ideas for what we can do for show number 150. Maybe
that's really not a good idea to ask the listeners what we should do.
I think Lothar Matthäus got 150 caps for Germany, so maybe we can see if we can get him on the show.
Yeah,
it was a good shout.
I don't think he's up to much these days.
No, I don't see why not.
So, you know, Lothar, if you're listening, come down and say hello. Well, this week it is Mike, Chris and Dan again. It's a threesome, which is a very nice image for you all to have in your head. And again, we're going to start with a trivia question for you guys to think about during the show.
Okay.
The big reveal at the end last week, we did it, and it kind of worked until Jerome saw the answer on my sheet. I've not got the answer written down this week. It's quite nice.
Good.
One player has played... Oh, that's all right, because Dan's just made a nice gesture at me. So he'll have the answer at the end of the show. Again, this is going to become challenge, Chris. Again, one player has played for... both Manchester clubs and both Merseyside clubs, so United City, Liverpool and Everton. Can you name that player?
He's not currently playing, but he played in a relatively
modern era. He probably retired.
I can't answer because also having access to the podcast Facebook account and checking my messages as I did this morning, I saw the answer, so I can't actually. Right. So sorry, Chris.
The but challenge is on.
He is not too old to still be able to play in your odd charity matches and stuff like that.
Yeah. In fact, he has turned. He turned out in a charity match for United Legends earlier this year, but that might be a bit misleading about how much of a legend he is.
Seeing that I saw the answer. I actually came up with another one myself.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Another rogue question.
I thought this might be really obvious. I don't really know. I didn't know it, but I'll put it to you. The one player that has played in the World Cup, Champions League, UEFA Cup, Intertoto Cup, Premier League, Championship, all four levels of the English Football League, and the Conference. So just get it right. World Cup, Champions League, UEFA Cup, Intertoto Cup, all four levels of the English League, and the Football Conference.
He's English then, this player.
Why necessarily English?
Fishing for a clue.
He's a thinker. We'll have the reveal at the end of the show with the other trivia question, but I like that. That's a good one. So, Chris, you've had a great week. Dan, you've had an all right week. I've had a shite week. So, I think we might as well just delve right into it and start with you, Chris, because Arsenal, I saw it described as the Arsenal juggernaut keeps rolling on.
Yeah. I'll say this is a big statement. That match last night was probably the best Arsenal performance I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. It was fun to watch.
I'm trying to think of a better Arsenal performance that I can think of. I can think of games where you've come out and played very well. For example, when you beat Tottenham 2-0 a few years ago with two goals in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Beating Chelsea 5-3. Sorry, someone else has got to be miserable.
But just in terms of the style that we played, it was great. It was perfect. I was really, really happy.
Within the first 5 minutes, there was...
I don't think they touched the ball in the first 6 minutes.
No, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, right? It was pissing me off watching how well Arsenal were playing. And I'm not going to take away anything from that. No. But Napoli... giving Arsenal, there seemed to be, the game looked like it had been sort of 70 minutes in and unbelievably expansive 5 minutes in.
Napoli, for some reason. We started off amazing. That was a great start.
It was bizarre though. Like Napoli were just giving Arsenal so much space. And I know, don't get me wrong, like Arsenal were playing the ball around magnificently and creating space as well as anything. But Napoli just looked like they turned up and didn't have a clue. I don't know if Higuain getting injured in training the evening before unsettled the team a little bit, or what
it was. They did change their style. Obviously, they had more of the ball. They were pressing harder in the second half, but. We were happy to let them do that.
It was bizarre.
At the end of it, it was embarrassing. They were just shooting wildly from anywhere on the pitch. I can't remember how many shots they had.
It was so weird to see, like, for such an important game.
I didn't think the game was going to turn out like that. I thought it was going to be a good game nonetheless, but I didn't think we'd dominate like
we did. I was really looking forward to it being a really good battle. It was men and boys. It was just so weird, like I said, to see, you know, all the chat was that they were going to be sort of setting up to attack Arsenal on the counter attack. They weren't set up like that. Yeah, they were set up all over the place. Yeah, it was really weird.
I can't think of a Rafa Benitez team that I've ever seen attack somebody on the counter attack.
Yeah, but they just looked so disorganised as well. And Arsenal I think that it was Napoli looked disorganised, and Arsenal didn't half. Capitalise on it. Basically, they saw the space, and just tore them to shreds.
It wasn't an easy win. I think we did obviously work for that. We played really well. Yeah. I wouldn't say it was a pushover, but it was good. Yeah, but I'm really happy. It was an enjoyable match to watch.
That first half was easy.
Yeah.
Or easier than some of the a lot of the Premier League games you played. So
they turned it up a bit in the second half, but we were happy to let them do that. And it was an enjoyable match to watch. I'm really pleased. Yeah. All the players did really well. Yeah.
Load of shit before the game, though, wasn't it?
Well, I've heard about this in a restaurant in North London.
Yeah, it's called Pivory Corner.
Oh yeah,
Pivory Corner.
The Italian fans.
So apparently it was like 100 of the. Where is it? Yeah, about 100 fans apparently just came out of the tube station. And the owner was saying that during the day they had quite a few Napoli fans in, and everyone was just...
Business was booming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just getting on well. And apparently then just 100 fans came out of the tube station at Arsenal and just headed, like just a couple of them just headed off, saw someone outside the pie shop, and apparently just went for them. And then I think one of the windows got smashed in.
Yeah, I heard
someone
that as
got
well, yeah.
smacked over the head with a stool.
It's just ridiculous.
Just absolutely bizarre.
That from Napa, I suppose. I don't know. Really.
Yeah, but it's the ultras,
isn't it? And I think a lot of fan groups do have that contingent. It's not been so obvious with English fans in the last few years.
Yeah.
Partly because I think the clubs that have travelled abroad don't necessarily have such a large hooligan element to them.
And they've also been much more strict regulations on who goes.
United in Rome and in, I think, Porto at one point, having rubber bullets fired at them, but nothing other than being fans and the police getting a bit too close.
It's a reputation, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I live in bloody Finsbury Park, which I can't tell you how much fun it is being a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
Not only that, when I want to get home after work, all the fucking Arsenal fans getting in the way. Anyway, I was in bed after the game, window open, and there was a police helicopter circling for a good half an hour outside, above me. So I wondered.
Do you think they might not have been looking for football fans, Dan? Have you been up to anything?
No, I've been.
quickly turn the lights off and the TV.
No, I've been behaving last night. But I knew something had. Something had happened. It wasn't until I saw this morning the reports. So there must have been trouble afterwards as well, or they'd known about what happened before the game and were just having people like having the helicopter circle.
I wonder where
these
Napoli fans are going to get to though in these days with so much CCTV in London.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. No, but so far only one person's been arrested, and it wasn't in relation to that incident. So they haven't actually caught the guy. And the guys, it was just two just normal lads were just out there. One of them got, like I said, hit over the head with a stool, had to go to the hospital, like a metal stool.
Yeah.
Like, they're just minding their own business. Yeah. It's not like they were looking for fights.
The problem is as well, when it's outside the football ground, there's nothing you can really do to the club to control it.
No. Mm. I mean, the police made a statement saying it was very much football related, it's not just some idiots that have decided that all they want to do is come over and look for a fight, which is just bollocks.
Speaking of naughty fans, and I'm not sure they were actually fans, but did you see what happened at the bars and Schalke game?
Yes, the protesters.
How the fuck do protesters get on top of a stadium during a match.
And then abseil down.
Abseil down with a massive banner.
They didn't make that at home. They didn't make that banner at home.
If you've not seen this, they're basically protesting against Gazprom, who were one of the sponsors of the Champions League, big oil and gas company from Russia. I think Roman Abramovich was involved with them at some point. I'm not sure if he was one of the directors or something.
Right.
But they had a sign that was saying something like Gazprom don't...
It was the Arctic, wasn't it?
It was something... I've got
Arctic
the exact
drilling,
wording.
I believe.
Don't foul the Arctic.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with them drilling there for gas.
A nice little football pun there from the protesters.
Yeah, like that, like that.
Keep it up, lads.
It's just bizarre, isn't it? Like, abseiling down.
Yeah.
Because we had our parachutist... Well, we think accidentally arrived on was it the Barnet game?
Yeah.
It was
Chester versus Salisbury.
Yeah. But this is obviously, you know, being able to, I mean, that takes some planning, to be fair, well played.
Yeah.
Sorry, just going back to the last bit on Napoli. I think it was Natta Football put this on Twitter just before the Arsenal game. It was a quote from quite a few years ago, we think, but it was obviously with Napoli playing in England for the first time in quite a long time. Revisited one of the quotes from the Napoli president, which is just hilarious. I don't even know what the context was, but he's quoted to have said, "The English live badly, eat badly, and their women do not wash their genitalia. To them, a bidet is a mystery." I think that's one of my favourite quotes ever. Like, I don't really know where you got that from. I mean, back in 2008 or whenever it was, maybe. You know, maybe that's. I don't remember women having a reputation for not washing their genitalia.
I don't remember many people in this country, or in fact, I don't think I've ever visited many foreign countries where bidets are widespread.
I had a bidet.
Same.
I always wanted one because I didn't really know what it was for. I thought it was just like a funny little toilet.
Or like a sink for very small people to wash their hands in.
Something like that. So I just used it to sink. Yeah,
it's fine, you're right, my size.
Yeah, but I didn't realise that bidets were that important. I can't say I've ever had a problem.
I don't really feel that I need a special appliance to wash my arsehole. I'm pretty sure I can do it fine in a shower.
I'm a fully grown adult. I can manage that myself.
If anything, it's quite difficult. Sort of squatting over this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You've got to
fill it up, wait. Yeah. You have to fill it off.
Oh, do you feel that?
I thought you used them to spray at you. Never had a bidet.
It's like a little sink that you just fill up. Anyway.
And then we're
talking about bidets.
You're right. Anyway. Speaking of shit. Heartbreaking last night for Celtic.
It was a very silly thing for Scott Brown to do.
It wasn't a very silly thing, Michael. It was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I was got. It wound me up. It really wound me up.
Andy Townsend saying that's not a red card.
What are you talking about?
He kicked out at him.
No, but he literally, you saw, in real time, obviously it was a different angle. And you saw, the blatant pull down for the foul, it was a blatant yellow anyway.
Yeah.
And then you just saw his face, you saw him lash out. And on a sort of slight dodgy angle, and straight away I've said to myself, or said out loud, I think, he's kicked him. I went, he's kicked. And then you should go, because the ref had the yellow card out originally for the booking. And I don't know, I think he must have got a word in his ear, or someone from the linesman, or someone. And obviously, but then they're saying, Neymar got him sent off. No, Scott Brown, it's 0-0, you're playing Barcelona, you're still in the game. He actually played very well until that point.
That's the sad thing, because he's been an absolute rock for them in the Champions League, both against Milan and for the first 60-odd minutes against Barcelona, and last season.
And then just to stupidly kick him in the sort of back and arm, it was like...
And the thing is, it used to be the sort of thing he used to do on a regular occasion. He used to have a bit of a temper, and he sort of, for want of a better term, stamped that out of his game, but... Now he's.
It was just so annoying. And what even more heartbreaking was just before Barcelona scoring was those two chances that they had at the other end. I mean, I can't remember who the first one was. I can't remember who the first one was. It was the shot from the corner, the shot that led to the corner.
Ooh.
And then, what's his name? The centre back?
McManus.
No. McCall. Oh, bollocks. Knowledge is the bum.
Yeah.
The header at the back post.
Mulgrove.
I mean, you saw the poor lad who got interviewed at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He was heartbroken because he knew that should have gone in. Valdez was nowhere. It just crept past the post, and that would have given them something to hold on to. And I think it was only 5 minutes later that they went up the other end of the score.
I mean, it's going to be a real uphill battle for them now, especially with Ajax and AC Milan drawing last night.
Yeah, although
in a way, they're in the group, though, aren't they?
No, they're bottom zero. Losses.
Yeah, but Lennon was saying that they forecasted to not get any points out of Barcelona whatsoever. Yeah. They basically want the home and away against Ajax. And the home victory against Milan,
picking
up points against Milan at home. Yeah. Like, so it's still not. Nothing's changed in that sense.
And they've still got the weakest team in an albeit very strong group to come. Yeah. The Ajax. So who knows what they can manage? But fingers crossed. So elsewhere, it was a bit of a dry night in the Champions League, wasn't it? I mean, Chelsea obviously a great win in Bucharest.
Well, they needed it after last week.
They've got Schalke to play twice. We're a very good side. Atletico Madrid winning in Porto.
That did make me smile when the final whistle went when they lost.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
the Chelsea loss always makes me smile.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Speaking of Chelsea, obviously at the weekend it was Tottenham Chelsea.
Yeah, it was a fair result in the end. Yeah. Without a doubt, it was a fair result. We had the better of the first half. They had much better the second half.
I'll tell you what, your man Gylfi Sigurdsson's having a cracking second season, isn't he?
Well, he's, it's what it looked like. He's becoming the player that he looked like he was going to be at Swansea before he came to Spurs. It sort of stuttered a little bit. Yeah. But, right place, right time, great finish. How can you not start him at the moment? He can't stop scoring. And, he's shown a real few touches of class. And I was just disappointed that AVB brought on Chadley with 25 minutes to go, not Lamela. It was strange not to see Lamela player come on at all. Yeah. Like, I understand he's a young lad, he's finding it difficult to adapt apparently to like the English life and English football, so he's easing them in gently. I completely understand.
Has he got a B-day in his house?
I don't believe he has. Maybe that's where he's going. Apparently he's struggling with the driving on the wrong side of the road. But I understand, but I don't know, he's that sort of player that bring him on with 25 minutes. Chadley did nothing. He's a young lad as well, but it's disappointing. I mean, but I suppose one of the biggest talking points of that game, obviously, was Torres. The first yellow card for the stupid trip on Vertonghen was a blatant yellow. I don't know what he was doing anyway. And the scratch was how the FA. Martin Lipton's actually done a really good column in the Mirror today about it, where he's basically furious. Because
they're not going to do anything about it.
No, nothing at all. He is completely
very lucky.
Because supposedly the linesman saw part of the incident, didn't see the whole thing. But the weird thing is that this season, supposedly, the rules have changed. Right? Yeah. And this is a quote. So this is from Martin Lipton's con today. It says supposedly from now on, if a referee and his assistants missed, he referred to the McManaman type incident where he made that awful tackle on her Newcastle's Hydra last season, where he came down and he's just on his knee. Oh, disgusting. Yeah. If they miss a McManaman type incident and knew something that had happened but missed the severity and the significance, there could be video trial on the basis that exceptional circumstances, in inverted commas, requires action. Yeah. And in addition, when something was missed completely by the referee and his colleagues, they can see that they have missed it, then it could be passed over to the new panel of three former referees to pass judgment and sentence. Only, of course, for violent instances of violent conduct, not handballs or anything like that. So in theory, this could happen. And
fall into violent conduct.
Without
a
doubt.
A massive photo of his hand
splayed
across
his face. That looks nasty, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Who the fuck scratches?
I know.
What a guy.
Well, and it is true that if it had been Suarez, I know that obviously you've got to go, it's the same as a criminal conviction. Yeah. If you've got previous and then you get punished worse and stuff. But
there's going to be more scrutiny on you if you've got a reputation anyway.
I think it's an absolutely shocking decision from the FA. The FA are trying to make out their hands are tied behind their backs for FIFA ruling, but FIFA are saying, no, you can do what you want. So it's all a bit bizarre, but it's a bullshit decision, but what are you going to do? But, just on Torres' performance in general, the boy was a man possessed. Like, I've never seen him so fired up and so hungry since Liverpool days.
Well,
really,
when you've got Samuel Eto'o and Demba Ba breathing down your neck and Romelu Lukaku pulling up trees at Everton.
I mean, we'll get onto that in a minute because that is that is ludicrous for me, decision for me. But he was. I mean, he was a menace. He was an absolute menace, and he looked like the Torres of old at parts. But he was so fired up. I agree that the second yellow wasn't a second yellow, although. Looking at it in real time, and I can understand why the ref gave it, because look at from the first instance, you see Vertonghen's sort of just jumping straight up, going for the header, and you see Torres launch himself at it. Like, he was thinking, I'm taking man ball a lot. There wasn't actually any contact. I think I was just lucky there wasn't any contact, because you see the way Torres actually throws himself at Vertonghen, thinking, I'm just going in for this challenge. He was lucky there wasn't any contact. Yes, Vertonghen did play out a bit, but the geezer's just been scratching the face. He's probably thinking, I want to stitch you up, you bastard, because you just nearly got gouged my eyes out. But he was a man possessed. It was weird to see, in a way, but I hope he doesn't keep up that sort of form, because Chelsea's striking problems are rather amusing at the moment.
How do you end up having certainly two players who at one point or another in their career you would probably have said were the best striker in the world, maybe only for a couple of months in the case of Torres, but in terms of out and out strikers, both him and Eto'o, and Demba Ba, who's got a track record of scoring wherever he's played, regardless of the team in Premier League. He went to a West Ham team that was bottom by a good, I think, 8 or 9 points at the end of that season. Scored 7 in 12. He went to Newcastle.
Before Cisse came along, was banging him in left.
And then last season, when they were struggling for the first half, was banging him in. At Chelsea, he was scoring goals. I mean, he's a great player.
Has he been injured? He's been injured, hasn't he? Or has he?
I don't think he has this season, no.
I thought he was injured.
He
I
might have had a little knock here or there, but he's not been
nothing
out.
Serious. No,
yeah, exactly. He's just not been...
I'm just going to like that irony that Chelsea...
Oh, it's magnificent.
Buy everything. No, but I like that.
Or you can buy it, lend it away, and realise that you
kept
it.
I mean, Lukaku. When the decision first... Well, when I heard it on... Was it transfer deadline day? It was, wasn't it? I think
it was. It was very late.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I couldn't understand it. I was like, amazing. For Everton, and why on earth, the boy showed what he could do at West Brom last year. I mean, he's a monster. He's 20 years old, and he's a monster. And I mean, we were just chatting just before we started recording. I said that first half display from Everton against Newcastle was magnificent.
Yeah.
Like the football they played. You know, I said, you say the Martinez factor, and how he likes to play teams. And I mean, I don't think it's been showcased any more than that first half, especially.
He's a good PR manager. He seems like a nice guy. Very easy with the press. Very smiley. He plays good football.
Yeah, I mean, they were their passing and moving for the Everton players was wonderful.
The one issue for Everton, and my dad's an Evertonian, and speaking to him, is the concern about how they'll do on the road. Because obviously this season, I think after 6 games, they've won 3 and drawn 3, I think. Yeah, they have, because they're on 12 points. And away from home, while they play the lovely football at Goodison, it's not always that easy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be... But fantastic for them.
I'm so excited about... my brain's gone to
Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
I hope we
don't do too badly this season, because that's a team ending up at United for a lot of money, and he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, but I really hope he comes on, because he is a player.
And he could really be one that you take to the World Cup. Because there's always a player, if you look back at England's squads from major tournaments, there's always a player who emerges that season and breaks into the squad. So in 2012 it was Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
In 2008 it was Walcott. 2008 was nobody, because we didn't qualify for the Euros.
2006
you had Walcott and Lennon.
He was really young then, he was like 17.
Yeah, you had Walcott, but you also had Lennon and Downing who came through at the last minute to varied success. 2004 Rooney.
Yeah.
2002, I think there was a couple of backup players, Darius Wassell and Wayne Bridge. So it's not always the most high profile, but players will break through, and Barkley could very easily be the one.
He bosses it. I love that. He always wants the ball. That's a sign. I'm a midfielder. You love seeing that about
midfielders. And that's why if you're Tom Cleverley or Michael Carrick or even Jack Wilshere, you want to be looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So,
really, really good.
Great little player.
Very
Before we go on, last week I think I said, when was the last time the two North London clubs were the top two in the league? When was the last time it was the two North London clubs and the two Merseyside clubs in the top four? Being a proper...
A while ago, I would have thought.
At this rate, it's going to be Barnet versus Tranmere in the FA Cup final. I mean, it's obscene, but yes, I think I know what you're going to go on to. A very insipid Manchester United performance. Smile off your face.
No, it's not actually, but... It does tie. It has relevance to Man United. No. So we'll do this.
Very insipid performance at the weekend. West Brom, to be fair to them, played brilliantly. They came. Steve Clark got it right. They attacked a United team with no confidence and scored two very good goals. But United pretty much created nothing. Even our goal was from a free kick that was meant to be a cross. But
what was the young lad that scored? Is on like 800 quid a week or something?
Sado Barahino. And that actually goes on quite nicely because I was thinking about this the other day. England have got a bit of a dearth of strikes at the moment. He's started the season great at West Brom. He scored 4-2 in the League Cup and he's just scored at the winner at Old Trafford. He's also scored 2-2 for the under-21s. I wouldn't mind sticking a tenner on him breaking into the World Cup squad if he can stick into the team.
Because they reckon they're going to sign him for 1.7 million or something.
Well, he's big, he's powerful, he's quick.
I haven't seen him.
He's going to sign a new contract, but I tell you what, you've got what? Rooney... Defoe if he gets games.
Who looks very
Powell
sharp.
If he gets fit.
He should have scored it.
Sturridge, who's playing very well. But there's not a lot of English strikers.
No, you're right, there isn't. Anyway, back to Man United. I'm not letting the game get away with it that easily. Yeah. I mean, thoughts, basically.
Time to panic. It'd be daft to do so. We've performed like that in the past. The worry is that we've started the season so badly, we're going to be playing catch up. But we are only 3 points behind City. We're 4 points behind Chelsea.
Yeah, it's really early in the season.
Tottenham,
yeah.
Arsenal, Liverpool, who else are going to drop points? So it's it's just disappointing, and it's worrying.
But yeah, I was going to say, forget about the points. Forget about. We I need would be to more concerned team. About the team.
The thing we've got to hope for now, we've got four very winnable games. I think we've got Sunderland, Southampton, Stoke, Fulham. On paper, all winnable, albeit Southampton are playing brilliantly at the moment. If we can win those four games, then it's Arsenal at home. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, what are your realistic predictions for this season? What do you think? Do you think is going to happen at the end of the season?
I think we should be very happy with third place after the way we've started. At the start of the season, I thought we could win it. I still think we can win it. I just think it'll be very hard when you
start that back.
This year, you've got five, arguably six teams who can win the league.
Yeah.
So it'll be very difficult. I mean, someone said to me the other day that, we were 12 points at Christmas one year, 95, 96, and still won the title. But that year it was only us and Newcastle challenging.
Yeah.
This year there's 16. So you might be able
to... Arsenal had a shockingly shit start to last season. Yeah. A really bad start, and we turned it around come January.
And
so
on the flip side, Tottenham the other year had a very good start and ended by being dropped away.
Yeah, exactly. So you never
it all depends. Genuinely, not just trying to wind you up. I would be worried if I was a Man United fan just about the team itself and about the performances of some of the players.
I think something needs to happen, but it's one of the... it's difficult to pinpoint the actual players who are playing poorly. Carrick hasn't started the season as well as he got played last year. Ferdinand is looking his age. On the plus side, Johnny Evans, the two games he's played, even against West Brom, it was a shitter of a game, but Johnny Evans has played very well at the back and he looks like he can build on the performances last season. Smalling's also played well. So
do you think's got a better squad, Tottenham or Man United?
On paper.
On paper, I would say. I'd say Man United have a more proven Premier League squad, but Tottenham have a lot more potential and players who've done it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an awful lot between them. I think
there's really good, and there's basically there's almost perfectly two players for every position at Spurs who are both really contending to be in the starting
place.
Is there enough for United?
When
for
United
that?
Are at their best, I think yes. The only place where maybe there isn't is left back, because Alex Putna doesn't look a good enough backup.
I just think it's the midfield, though. I think your
midfield
is just...
On paper, you've got Carrick, Fellaini, Anderson, who is so hit and miss but can be one of the best midfielders around. More often than not, he's a fat waste of space.
Yeah.
Darren Fletcher still to come back. Who knows how good he'll be? Kagawa.
Why? Free Shinji.
Why is he not playing Shinji?
Well, Kagawa.
He played him at the weekend. He looked quite good and he got hooked at half time. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Kagawa, bless him, to come out this week and says,
clearly I'm not doing well enough, so I need to try harder.
That is a classic Japanese mentality.
But to be fair, people complain about playing on the left wing. He plays there for Japan and does very well.
Why is he not playing Zaha?
Yeah.
Well, I think you've got a reason why he's not playing Zaha. Nobody really knows, especially after he played quite well in the Charity Shield.
Yeah. And he starred for the under 21 team the other day.
And he starred in the pre-season. And Lingard, who's still banging the goals.
Have you heard this, Chris, though? Have you heard the rumours of why he's not playing Zaha? It's supposedly.
Allegedly.
The rumours are flying around that he was caught in bed with Moyes' daughter.
What?
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I never understand.
It's across everywhere. It's only been the last few days it's come out.
One thing I never understand is
Lauren Moyes. So there's an Instagram picture of her where it's a selfie, I believe they're called.
I don't understand. Yeah. How do such ugly footballers end up with quite fit offspring? Because, I mean, Kenny Dalglish, you look at. Maybe with the money he married a nice wife.
Harry Redknapp was a right looker in his day, alright? Yeah. Harry Redknapp was a good looking boy back in his day, alright? And you can tell that from Jamie.
Yeah, that's fair. And Jamie's done all right for himself.
A lot of people talk about the fact Harry Redknapp was in a car accident and it's affected the movement in his face a bit. But I've seen pictures of him from the 70s, he wasn't a good looking boy at all.
Anyway, so supposedly Zaha's shagging Lauren Moyes, that's why he's not playing.
I think he'd rather be doing that than playing in this United team at the moment.
It doesn't make any sense to why he's not playing, though. I don't really understand why he's not playing.
That can't be the reason.
It can't be the reason. I really hope it is, but it can't be the reason. Interesting to see about Kevin De Bruyne as well. De Bruyne. That is weird. That's really weird.
Obviously, he's been on loan, but Mourinho put him straight in his starting lineup at the start of the season.
Yeah, and he had offers from Dortmund, and he plays with Mourinho. Was like, no, you're definitely playing. Suppose it was one shit performance in the cup, in the Carling Cup, or whatever it is. I think it was like, now he's training with the youngsters.
Apparently, his attitude and training hasn't been great as well.
Yeah, and now he's basically. I'm seeing Mourinho stormed out of the press conference when asked about him. Like, it's all weird. It's another weird one. I love Jose Mourinho.
Yeah,
right?
He's a character.
Yeah,
he's
but he's almost lost a bit of his spark. Like, that twinkle in his eye. He almost seems like he's lost the passion a little bit. I don't know. It's not the same Mourinho. Like, and I'm not being funny. Sorry, just going back very quickly on that Spurs Chelsea game. Chelsea played some of the shittest football I have ever seen in my life.
Which they did under Mourinho last time, but to great effect.
It was absolutely shocking. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Spurs put a few beautiful moves together, right, which was lovely to watch, but then we weren't as effective in the second half, and don't get me wrong, Chelsea did a great job. What they did against United, they looked for that diagonal ball over the top, over and over again, and it's just horrible, horrible football to watch. Yeah. And that's what I fucking hate Chelsea.
Yeah, but I suppose when you're getting a job done and that, but it's just two sides to that argument, isn't it?
I'd rather,
I'll tell you something, I'd like to know the odds on United, City and Chelsea all missing out on the Champions League this season.
We haven't even talked about City yet.
Who dominated Aston Villa. Jerome, I think, is quite disappointed he's not here, because when I spoke to him earlier in the week, he really wanted to talk about it. But Villa apparently offered nothing.
And this is a Villa side without Ambon Lahore and without Benteke. They're two form players as well. Yeah. And they beat him 3-2. Wasn't it four goals in 15 minutes or something as well in the second half? Absolutely brilliant. Because I went down to Brighton to be with my old man to watch the game, and we went into town. So I'd almost forgotten about the football scores. Came back, checked the scores, and was like, you've got to be kidding me. Manchester
clubs.
They
come back from 2-1. Is it 2-1 to City at the time? Then they came back to 3-2. Exactly.
Absolutely quite. I mean, Villa, will you stop?
Banging that door.
Yeah, it's just a brilliant weekend of results, really.
Well, we better mention.
For me, but we'll sorry.
a quick look down the leagues as well. Obviously, we're not the greatest.
Sorry, just really, sorry, really, really, really. No, no, last bit on the Premier League. Did you see that? Well, you would have seen because you work in media, as we all do.
Yes.
The almighty fuck up from the Metro on Monday morning.
Yes, I was
absolutely brilliant. This went viral. These, the outside back cover, so like the back page of the Metro.
Yes.
The bottom half was advertising BT Sport. Don't miss Master versus the Apprentice, Spurs versus Chelsea. On Monday's paper that was on Saturday. What an absolute balls up.
Someone's got fired.
I did, yeah, you're getting sacked in the morning. It was just brilliant. Yeah. Like, advertising the game for two days before.
If
so.
You are the editor of the Metro, tweet in.
Yeah, yeah.
I do know if you work at the Metro, and to be honest, I doubt anyone would have given a fuck. They would just really, it's free effort to replace it. It's the Metro.
It's just the embarrassment.
Yeah, it makes them look silly. But
very silly.
To be honest, this week the Daily Mail look a lot sillier after what they posted about politics. So.
Speaking of looking silly, sorry, we are going to get to the lower league. I just love a tenuous link. You know I love a tenuous link.
I know you do.
You see one of the... One Newcastle fan got a couple of the new Sunderland boys to hold up a sign that said SMP. Now, I didn't have a clue what any of this meant.
Oh, like, SMB, yeah.
SMB, sorry, which is SAB.
SMP means SMP. The Scottish National Party.
Yeah, SMB, which is stands for Sad Macam Bastards. Basically,
okay.
Which is basically Geordie slang for.
It was famously Lee Clark when he joined Sunderland from Newcastle and went to the '99 Cup final. While he was a Sunderland player wearing a T-shirt saying "Sad Mac and Bastards,"
right,
he posed with fans. So
he got, and one of the Newcastle fans managed to get Josie Altidore and El Hadji Bar to pose with the signs and SMB.
Have no idea
no idea what was going on. They looked quite happy with it, and he obviously completely mugged them off and found it hilarious. So well played, that. That's pretty funny.
It's a cracking bit of banter.
Yeah.
Speaking of banter, did you see the chat that Steve gave to the Derby team last night?
It must have worked.
Well, because he's not.
Bloody hell.
He's not officially taken over at Derby yet, Steve McLaren.
I thought he was.
He's been appointed, but he wasn't in charge last night.
I wonder if he'll adapt a Midlands accent for his.
He went into the changing room at half time. They were losing
4-1
at home to Ipswich, and they ended up drawing 4-all. And
apparently,
he gave a rousing speech.
One of my best mates is an Ipswich fan, and I got an email from this morning. Just saying, I hate supporting Ipswich.
Yeah,
like, it was. It was 4-1 up at home, because Ipswich are flying as well. What are they? They've had some really good results.
We've got an update of the table. They are playing very
Ipswich
well.
Are playing well because they've.
They're mid-table.
They won at the weekend. They had
a difficult start to the season, and then they've been on really good form since. They lost their first two.
Right.
And then they've been back in it.
Yeah, to 4-1 up at home to draw 4-all, that is devastating.
Yeah. Fantastic, but Burnley are rising high up there. A bit
of a bolt out the blue, Burnley, really.
They won 2-0 at Doncaster last night, but, you know, this shows the knowledge we have, really. I'm struggling over this. Bolton have still not won.
Still not one again.
None of the Reebok.
Oh, mate, Nick, who's been on the show quite a few times, he sent us a message. It's not about Bolton, but it's linked to it. All he said is, Mauricio Pochettino's put on a bit of timber recently. Please discuss. which I haven't noticed, but I'll keep an eye out for. He must be...
That means he's got a bit of fat, if anyone didn't know. Yeah. Any of our abroad listeners don't get the slang.
He must be enjoying the luxury of Southampton riding so high in the league. But three things put out. Firstly, Leighton Orient no longer with 100% record. They drew at the weekend, 1-1 with Walsall. So, yeah.
Load of shit.
Yeah. Brentford beat Coventry, so Andy Frank's happy about that. Gillingham won their first game of the season. Jim's still celebrating that somewhere, probably.
He's celebrating so much, he's even flown to Spain as a celebration. So unfortunately, he won't be here for the next... I say unfortunately, I'm lying. Fortunately, he won't be here for the next couple of podcasts.
Any more for any more, then?
Yeah, I like Curtis Davies' quote. Yeah. You see this the other day? Curtis Davies said, if we end up finishing above Man United in the table, I will streak around the KC. I really, really hope they do now, purely to see Curtis Davies.
Yeah.
And I think he's the sort of lad that will stand up to us.
Yeah, he's
as
sure he's
well.
Yeah.
which I think is brilliant. My favourite bit of news for the day, which I saw yesterday on social media, was a new meal that's available in a Parisian restaurant or Parisian cafe. Have you seen this, Michael?
I've heard about it.
I don't know. Enlighten me.
Paris's cafe called Doddy's Coffee have created a new type of burger called the Zlatan burger.
Wait.
It is 600 grams of pure Swedish beef, and claims that it's so big that even Chuck Norris couldn't fit it in his mouth.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
It will set you back a mere 30 euros.
Wow, okay.
And from the photo we had of Zlatan last season, I think we can all agree that it probably is too big for the boy himself.
Yeah, so, I love that photo.
If you're in Paris?
If you're in Paris, check out. I'm almost tempted to go to Paris just for the Zlatan burger.
The Zlatan?
Yeah. I know how much I love Zlatan and his ridiculous quotes. And now he's got a burger named after him, which is just
brilliant. You've made it when you've got a meal made up.
And the fact that it's 600 grams of pure Swedish beef. Yeah, he is. Lee James from FFDU.
Yeah.
I really like his question. Which he put to us on Facebook. Just really quickly, I think I thought this was quite funny. Lunch for five, he calls it.
Okay.
Moyes, Martinez, Wenger, Rodgers, and ABB. What would the menu be? What sort of restaurant? The topic of conversation over the meal and the one surprise guest to join at dessert.
Who would it be?
I think it's really good. I think we should have a think about this.
I think we should maybe discuss that next week.
And have a little think.
This is a good little discussion.
If anyone else has got ideas, tweet it in or stick it on Facebook. So it's lunch for five. Moyes, Martinez, Wenger, Rodgers, and AVB. Menu, restaurant, topic of conversation, and the surprise guest to join us.
What we'll do is we'll tweet that and we'll put it on Facebook as an individual thing. Post your comments on there, and we'll talk about the best ones that come through.
I think it's a great little challenge.
A couple of other little things from me. Congratulations to Liverpool's women, who've become the first team in I think 10 years, other than Arsenal.
That reminds me. Sorry,
to win the women's Premier League. So fair enough to them.
On women's football.
Yes.
Did you see Tam Cowan's?
I did, on the Daily Record.
On the Record.
God.
I wish I had the quotes.
He basically said that they should burn down Motherwell's ground. He's a Motherwell supporter, because they hosted a women's international there.
Which was so bad. I need to dig the quotes out. It's amazing.
It was a slightly tongue-in-cheek comment.
It was supposed to be a very tongue-in-cheek
which is
column.
The style Tam Cowan used.
And he always says but it was that close to being...
But what do you expect? You cannot say anything like that, even remotely like
that,
without it getting
scripted.
Which also reminds me...
He must
also
have a brain.
Right. The column was absolutely outrageous. It's hilarious. I think we should tweet the column from the public.
And he has subsequently posted an apology, and I think he's donated some money to the women's game in Scotland.
Yeah.
But still,
I mean, it was. I remember I read this obviously because the Daily Record is owned by Trinity Mirror, which is who we all work for. So I reckon Friday's digital meeting, which I get on at 11 o'clock, I reckon it might be a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
I reckon it probably got quite a bit of attention.
It did.
But it was, it was hilarious. If you read it as tongue-in-cheek, it's hilarious. If you read it anyway, it's still hilarious.
People are going to take that the wrong way, regardless.
You can imagine how bad. It basically went down. He's like, I think that why are they wasting their time still? That was it. It's like BBC Alba must be really scraping the barrel if they're going to show this tosh live.
It was just
shocking. But we'll tweet the article and see what you think of it. It's funny. But just on that note of can't say a thing, it really pissed me off when Robbie Fowler had to apologise for his comments.
There's two sides to that, I suppose, in what we've just said there. I mean, saying something like that with a women's football is a load of shit.
There's one thing, you know, whether you're being serious or not, or whatever, if you're seriously saying women's football is a waste of time, get rid of it because it's a load of bollocks, that is one thing.
Yeah.
But saying that what Robbie Fowler had to publicly apologise for was saying that Torres and Matoman were fighting like a pair of girls.
Yeah.
He's not saying there's nothing.
That is a saying.
He's not saying that all women
fight like that. He's talking about girls, he's talking about children.
It's just bollocks. There's no point even trying to justify
it's like schoolboy-esque apology. Yeah.
I'm really sorry for anyone I've offended. I'm sorry, Robbie. That is absolutely. Yeah. They're taking the piss now. Yeah. You won't be actually be able to say anything.
Yeah.
You won't be able to say anything.
It's political correctness gone mad.
It's gone mad. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but it's fucking. Yeah. I'm sorry, it really winds me up.
On women in football, though, a slightly more positive story. New voice of the classified football results on the BBC, Charlotte Green, got rave reviews.
Did you?
She was fantastic. I didn't listen to it. It's obviously quite an iconic thing, the classified football results.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the guy who read them died last year, but
he did it for a while, didn't he?
He'd done it for a long time. Apart from the one week when Marky Smith from The Fall did it, and it was fantastic.
That's great. I love that.
Brilliant. Yeah. But fair play to Charlotte Green.
Yeah.
One note as well. I think we all send our best wishes to Jimmy Hill, who's finally revealed he's got Alzheimer's.
I was really sad, a real legend
of the game. He set up the he didn't set up the Professional Football Association, but he was in charge of it when they abolished a maximum wage for footballers, which obviously has completely revolutionised the game in England.
He's just a real legend.
I don't think there's many people who can have much ill will towards him.
Apart from what's it fans. Not Sunderland, is it Sunderland fans? There's some sort of history going back there.
Alex Ferguson didn't like him because he slagged off Cantona once.
It's a terrible shame.
Yeah.
Right, I think on that note, is there any more for any more?
I've got a little bit of
heart news, then the trivia.
Well, season kicks off in a couple of weeks' time. And it is, like I said before, it's the derby, Hart versus Victory. Kiel's been wrapped up in cotton wool. Because he's already played for 90 minutes. Unfortunately, Michael Misford, I think, is away on international duty, so he's going to miss the game, which is a bit shite.
Can't even qualify anymore.
I don't even know. Who knows? But they reckon that the derby record of 42,032, which was round one at the Etihad Stadium last season, is on track to be eclipsed. They reckon it's going to be the biggest...
The biggest attendance record ever.
Yeah, great.
Which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Shit news is that Melbourne Heart go into the round one derby against Victory without a pre-season win after losing 2-1 to Adelaide United. So it hasn't been the best pre-season. But to be fair, I mean, my football team last year, we didn't win a single pre-season friendly and won the league.
And to be fair, United have had a shit pre-season and...
There'll be obviously more build-up to the opening game next weekend. Hopefully Hart can get a result.
Fingers crossed.
But injuries, apparently, I think there's only three major injury worries. Apart from that, the squad's pretty much looking good. So, and they're hopeful on a couple of injuries. So, with a bit of luck.
Fingers crossed. Right, trivia questions. We'll start with my one, which was, who's the only player to have played for United, City, Liverpool?
Have you got any idea?
I was thinking about this a minute ago. No.
I'll give you a clue. He's not a particularly good-looking boy.
It's not Jim Staples either.
No.
Oh...
I don't think
and a wonderful football player.
Because he only played for United once in the Rumbelows Cup.
It was the Milk Cup back then.
He played on loan at Man City.
He's more of a Geordie than anything.
Yeah.
I'm out there.
Centre midfielder.
Where? Striker?
Striker, well.
Peter Beardsley.
Fair enough.
I've worked out your one, but only because I saw the initials written down on your sheet.
What was that question again? I deciphered it now.
It's not that obvious from the initials.
The only player to have played in the World Cup, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Cup, Intertoto Cup, all four levels of the English League, and the Football Conference. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Right. Well, no, because he's not English, is he? He's Irish.
He's not English, he's Irish.
And he played for Fulham in the Intertoto. He played for Liverpool in the Champions League.
And the UEFA Cup,
And the UEFA Cup. He played for Notts County in the lower leagues. I think UEFA Cup he was at Fulham. And obviously Andrew Lewis. I think it's Steve Finnan.
It is Steve Finnan.
There you go.
Steve Finnan.
Knowledge is the bomb. Detective work. Bring on. Right. You know the usual
cheating,
score.
Michael.
That's not cheating. I just saw the initials.
Cheating.
I still worked out it could have been anyone. My first thought was Sigmund Freud, but you know, he never.
Stefan Freud.
Well, no, Sigmund, the psychiatrist. He never played in the Intertoto.
No, he didn't. You're right.
Thinking of German, but it's not even thinking.
Well, you know, Austrian.
actually, but there you go. Knowledge is the bomb.
Ours was all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we've run out of time, so yeah, we can't talk about it anymore.
You know the score. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. We're on Facebook, The Football Podcast. Banter at footballpodcast.co.uk. We'll be back next week, when it'll be 1 week before Dan's birthday.
And at the Boy Silver, at Michael Coxon. And have you got a Twitter account yet?
No.
Right, you're getting punished.
Sort it out.
See you next week.